Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Hey, and we're holding right at the top of the daf, second line. Ein Solin Tapesach. The next thing that we learned in the Mishnah is that we're not allowed to use a grill for the Tzlias HaPesach, and then it brings a Maisa right away. Well, you know, actually, when it came down to it, you know, we learned that Rabbi Gamliel would tell Tavi Avdai to go put the Pesach on a grill. So what's going on? My silly store. We're now contradicting the halacha by bringing a ma'aseh to show that the halacha is wrong. By the way, there is an interesting aside that's brought in the Seder Olam. We were talking yesterday about which Rabbi Gamliel this is, and there are non-Jewish sources or non-Chazal sources that they actually, at the time of the Bar Kokhba revolt, they built another Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed afterwards with the destruction of the rebellion. And that maybe that's what it's referring to. But he says, look, it doesn't say this anywhere in any reliable source. So you know, it's hard to believe that that's what the Gemara is referring to. But in any event, it's a very cute side point. So how do we explain the fact that he went against the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is bringing it sort of as a continuation? Well, obviously something's missing. That in the event that this grill has holes all through it, the way our grills are, basically, there's this is the Pashtus, is that there's a standard kind of grill, then it's mutar. Now, Rashi doesn't like that shot. The Rambam brings it kipshuto. Even though the Beis Yosef attempts, but in the Kesa Mishnah, the Beis Yosef attempts to say that the Rambam holds like Rashi holds over here, it's certainly not mashma that way, and many don't take it that way. And the meaning of an askel menukevet, according to Rashi, is that you've got these big bars that are running across the fire, not like our grill where you've got like 1 inch, you know, between each one. And what you did was you took the spit of the Korban Pesach, instead of hanging it down towards the fire, you supported it between two of those bars. But the Korban itself didn't touch the bars. Again, that's not the pashtus of an askel menukevet, but that's how Rashi learns it. And as I say, some even learn that the Rambam learns that. Well, the pashtus is that he holds that a grill is okay. Why would the grill be okay? The reason a grill would be okay, our type of grill, is because the area which is touching the metal is exposed as well simultaneously to the fire. And therefore, because the fire basically comes up around these small little pieces of metal that are just there to support the meat, and they're made as thin as possible so that the meat will be exposed as much as possible to the fire. Because of that, it's not considered to be not considered to be roasted by the metal, it's roasted by the flame that comes up around it. The Omer, Rabbi Tzadik says, based on that piece of the Mishnah that's missing, that an askelim and ukevet, which is our type of grill, or in Rashi's terms, a large open fire with bars across it. So, and they actually allowed that they did this halacha lemaisa. As I said, many of the Mefarshim of the Mishnah directly don't take the Gemara over here as the pshat in the Mishnah, but rather say that the Maisa of Rabbi Gamliel is that in his time, which was not the time when they were actually bringing a Korban Pesach, in order to make it clear that it wasn't a Korban Pesach, he said, bring the meat. And it's sort of weird shot, but bring the meat that we use as a Zechel Pesach and Bedavka roasted on an open grill so that it will not be mistaken for a Pesach. Okay. What would be the din of a tanur shisiko beklipe orla vigorfo viafabo etapat? So now what we're about to do, and we want to take a look at whether the, since every single thing that we have learned about the dinim of the Korban Pesach has turned out to provide a model for the dinim of the Torah across the board, the question is whether the definition of Tzli Eish, as we're using it here, when it comes to the dinim of the Korban Pesach, would that also be usable as the definition for what constitutes Eish and Tzli in the rest of the Torah. Now, there aren't too many places where that will be nogea, but there are some, and here's one of them. Remember that we had the question before about the machlokas of yesh shevach etzim bepat. So that would mean that wood or fuel that was oser bahana'ah, and you would actually bake bread with it, then it would remain oser. If you hold like Rebbe that there is shevach etzim bepat, then that would mean you're always being nene directly from the Yisrei Hano. So the question is over here, if you used klipei orla, and klipei orla are obviously, these peels, they dried out, now they serve, they're flammable, and they are aser b'hana, like orla is, and then grafa, you shoveled out all of the coal from it, and it's still very, very hot, and then you bake bread inside that tanur. So according to Rebbe, who holds that you would not be allowed, and if you baked bread when the coal was not shoveled, it would be considered to be shevach etzim. What would be the din of that in terms of whether the heat that is now in the oven, is that heat the heat of the fire, and therefore it would aser the bread, or is it only if there's the actual remnants of the coal that it would be aser? So what would be the din? Said Rav Ada bar Abba, and this is the reason that we bring this over here, is because it is nogea, the dinim of Korban Pesach. It's the way the Korban Pesach will serve as a model even for this issue. So Rav Chanina bar Idi said the pot is okay, because in that case, the heat that is inside of the tanur is not considered to be the esh of the klipei orla. Omar Lay, so Rav Chanina says to Rav Chanina, say Omar Lay to Rav Ada bar Abba, the Omar, Rav Chanina Saba Omar Rabbi Asi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, that for when it came to the Korban Pesach, if you took an oven and you made it absolutely so hot that if you put in something inside of that oven, it would just burst into flames, which is the indication, as Rashi says in the previous case, that the oven still has that heat from the fire in it, because it will actually cause combustion. So in the event that you did this for Korban Pesach, and there was no open fire, so the oven in which you would normally have put the Pesach, hanging it in that oven, was hot enough to actually broil the Pesach. That is not called Sli'esh. Why is it not called Sli'esh? Only because the Torah repeats Sli'esh twice. Aha. So there it says, V'achlu et ha-basar b'layla hazeh Sli'esh. And then it says in the next pasuk, Al tochlu memenu nao b'shem mevushal ki im Sli'esh. Right? So twice in a row we have Sli'esh. That comes to tell me that it has to be an open esh, and it doesn't help to take the energy of that esh and to maintain it at the same temperature, and even though it would cause combustion. Aha! Now, to me, what that says is that the only reason that the Korban Pesach is not considered to be kosher is because of the special repetition of tzli esh twice. But suppose the Torah had not said tzli esh twice, then I would have said that actually that would be considered to be esh. In which case, in here, when we're talking about the klipei orla, where we don't have that extra pasuk, so then the halacha should be that it is considered to be direct esh, and it should be usher. And you're telling me it's muteret. Omar Leh, and this is precisely what we've been looking at all through the Masechet, that's exactly the point. The din of the Korban Pesach turns out to be the basis of the halacha in Kol HaTorah Kula. And since the Torah says that it's not Sli'esh vis-a-vis the din of Pesach, therefore it's not considered to be Sli'esh in terms of the halacha of Yesh Shevach Etzim Bepat as well. So that would be precisely why we're bringing this here. Or I could say a different answer. And so first, Kol HaRechman HaHatam Yafin Amina. We learn out from the Korban Pesach to Kol HaTorah Kula. Or I could say like this, that in the case of the Pesach, it's true that we would need the double mentioning of Sli'esh in order to tell me that this is not considered to be Esh. And if it hadn't said Sli'esh twice, so then in fact I would have thought that the Torah is makbid on an open fire. And even if that's the case, this is the same. This is because it contains all of the fire in it. And when it says fire, it means the energy of that fire. So afilu grafanami would be tzliyesh. But in the case of Orla, the Torah, there's nothing particular about fire over there, is there? I mean, the Orla is that I'm not supposed to be nene from the actual product of Orla. And that product is not here. And there's no reason. Remember, esh by definition means the energy, correct? But wood means wood. It doesn't mean the energy of the wood. So because of that, there may be a very significant difference between the way we understand the presence of the wood, which is certainly not, when I say wood, I mean the klipe orla, which is not here, and the case of the esh, which as the energy of esh is here. Comes on the Torah to repeat, to say, no, that's not enough. I'm not looking at the energy of the esh. I'm looking for the presence of the esh. Tana Rabbanan. Suppose you cut up the Korban Pesach. Rashi learns that cutting it up means you make slices through it. You don't actually cut it into pieces. And you then put it over the coals. But others learn that it means cutting it up. And that really, as Tosis points out, all of these dinim are not ma'akvim. You can have a mitzvah to do it this way, that it should be roasted whole, like the Torah says. But that doesn't mean that if you cut it up and you put it on coals, that it wouldn't be tzliyesh. It would still be tzliyesh. So it's not a Pesach mekulas, but it would still be kosher. Okay, so in any event, this would mean either you cut it up, you put the different slices of meat, or like Rashi, you take the entire animal and you have slices in it that allow the heat to penetrate. And that is according to Rebbe. Rebbe Omer, I say that if it's over coals, then that is considered, it's not an open fire. But if it's coals that are, they're actually flickering, that's just as good. This Tosfos understands it. That's just as good as tzliyesh over an open fire. So then, Rebbe does not seem to consistently hold that. You're telling me that Rebbe holds that coals are considered to be fire? Veraminu. Now, here is another place in the Torah where it makes a very significant difference whether we consider something to be esh or not esh. And that is that we have two dinim when it comes to negoyim that have special halachas. One of them is the din of michvat esh, and one of them is the din of shchin. Both michvat esh and shchin are damages that occur to the skin caused by heat on some level, either the heat of an open fire or the heat of impact or the heat that comes from sources other than fire. Is there any difference, la'alocha, between the two? No. However, it's very important for us to define what is a michvat esh and what is a shchin, because if you don't have a complete shear of a kigris, of either the shchin or the mikveh, the two of them are not mitztaref, and therefore you would not have a nega. So by determining whether the half a gris to the right is a shchin and or a mikveh, we can determine whether it can be added to the half a gris on the left, which is definitely a mikveh. So that's why we need to determine if something is technically a mikveh or not. And here's where we run into problems with the consistency of Rebbe. If Rebbe, you're claiming that Rebbe holds that coals are considered to be a fire, and what do we do with the Braisa? And the Braisa says, since the Torah says michvat eish, particularly, in the Ela shenichva be'eish, I would say that that's dafka if it's literally a open flame. How about if nichva begachelet, how about if it was burned by a coal, or beremetz, or besid, roteach, it's got boiling hot ashes, or he's got boiling lime, or kol davar haba min ha'ur, anything that was actually heated up directly by the fire, which would include even boiling water, latuye chamei ha'ur. How do I know that that is considered to be the equivalent of michvat esh? Talmud lomar, that's why the pasuk mentions michva twice, hobasar. So in other words, it's expanding on the concept of michvat esh to include even these things that were heated up by a fire. Now you see that the only reason we include this in the din of Michvat Esh is why? Because the Torah put in the extra word Michvah. Michvah, Michvah. But if not for that, Holo Rabbi Rachmana Michvah, Michvah, definitely I would have assumed that Gechalim, these coals, are not considered to be fire. So how can Rebbe say that in the case of the Korban Pesach, where we do not have such a ribui, that we would be able to roast the Korban Pesach on coal instead of open flame? Omar Lei, I don't need a pasuk to consider a gachelet that comes from wood to be a fire. That's a Porsche de Svora. What the pasuk is coming here to include is coals that are metal. Now, there's a tremendous difference between them. If I have a gachelet that was burning, then that means that the heat of the fire was actually the oxidation of the gachelet itself. So that's where the heat is coming from. Then that means that as long as I have the gachelet there, I have the fire, as long as it's still glowing and flickering. Now, she'enkein, when I've heated a piece of metal, all I have over there is not the oxidation of the metal. What I have over there is the continued presence of the heat, which is gradually leaking into the air. And there I need to know that itself, a gachelet shomatechet, even though it's not the producer initially of the heat, is also considered to be a mikvas esh. That's a big kiddush. And enochinam, that's not the case by Pesach. It's not. Gechelim shomatechet, says the Gemara, are not considered to be esh. Well, how do you explain the fact that, and here's yet another question of what is considered to be esh? So one of them we had in terms of Klipas Orla, and one of them we have in terms of the Korban Pesach, and one of them we have in terms of the Dinim of Michveh. And now we have yet another one, namely the Bat Kohen, who was Mizana, and she was a Naram Urasa. So the din over there is, it says, Ba'esh Tisaref. Now, how exactly does Beis Din execute someone Ba'esh? Well, the din is over there, Omer of Matna, Piti Lashel Avara Yosim La. They would use melted lead. Okay, that is a gachelet, shel matechet, isn't it? Molten lead is the full equivalent of a coal of glowing metal, all right? So the fact that it has a low melting temperature doesn't change the fact that that's what it is, and that they would pour down her throat, which would instantly kill her by burning out her insides while leaving her body externally intact. So if you're telling me that according to Rebbe, a matechet gachelet is not considered to be esh, how does it fulfill the requirement in the Torah of ba'esh tisaref? Oh, that's different. Because over there, the Amar Kra, ba'esh, could have said ba'esh tamut, but it's ba'esh tisaref. So that's coming to add, and as we'll see, whenever we have a riboy that comes after the word, ba'esh, and then followed by tisaref, instead of tisaref ba'esh, we're going to get to that later, that is including any type of burning that comes initially from the energy of the fire. Ah, indeed. So then, koshken esh atzma, right? I mean, if for sure, if you actually burned her like a witch at the stake, I mean, that would be even better, no? I mean, because you'd need a reboy to tell me the tisarev. So why don't we get into the witch-burning business? And nakiv lachavile zmuro dvinikla. Why don't we put all of these branches around her and burn her at the stake? I mean, let's roast her. You know, so why do we do that? Says the Gemara, well, we do that because the word sreifa from B'nai Aharon, because over there it says that they were burned, B'nai Aharon was burned, and we know that their bodies were intact, which we darshan over there, that it means that there were two little threads of fire that entered into their nostrils and burned them. So ma'ala halan srefat neshama, it means that they were killed, but their body wasn't damaged. V'guf kayam, afkan srefat neshama v'guf kayam. So that's what it means over here as well. So by that gzereshova of srefa srefa, that we do the same thing for the bat kohen. Yeah, but wait a minute. We can do that by cooking her. Can't we boil her? I mean, you said that the idea over here would be that any chamei ha'ur, you said rabot chamei ha'ur. So if you got nice boiling water, we put her into a pot of boiling water. We don't eat her. But we put her into a pot of boiling water, and that way her body survives, but she expires quite rapidly. Why use the metal, which is an additional reboy that we need? Ah, that's something else. That's because of Reb Nachman. Remember that Reb Nachman darshaned that the pasuk v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means that if you have to kill somebody, do it nicely. And love him the way you love yourself, and therefore bror lo mita yafa. I mean, you wouldn't want to be boiled in a pot of boiling water, would you? So because of this, the way that we choose the execution of the bat kohen would be whatever the pasuk would allow that would be considered okay, that would be the best kind of misa yafa. Wait, so then understand, if we have Reb Nachman, why do we need the gzeirah shava from the Bnei Aaron to tell me that we should do it the way the Sreifat Bnei Aaron was? Amri, if we wouldn't have had the gzeirah shava, I might have thought that that's not called Sreifa at all. I mean, Sreifat Neshama v'guf kayamu, I don't see any impact of burning, I would think. That's not called Sreifa. When the Torah wants Sreifa, it wants Sreifa. And so I would say, well, what about the fact that I have to choose a Misa Yafa? A Misa Yafa would mean, okay, if you're going to be burning her at the stake, since you don't have the option of using hot metal, so make sure that it's a really hot fire, you know, so that she doesn't die slowly. That's what I would mean. Nepush l'chavilei zmurot tuva, keich l'tomut ba'agala. Make sure that she dies quickly, so she doesn't suffer. Kamash malan, no, that actually Sreifa is like Sreifat Bnei Aaron, is considered to be Sreifa. And therefore, we could do that. Oh, so then if that's the case, why do I need Ba'esh? I mean, you could just say Sreifa, and then I could learn it from there. I mean, the Esh is what confused us, isn't it? Esh means fire. Ah, that's to tell me that you need to use a chemical reaction, which we call fire, in order to heat what it is that you're going to be using. Let's say you take lead out of a mine where it got so hot from radioactive breakdown that it actually melted. You could not use that because it is not a chemical reaction. It's a radioactive reaction. It's a nuclear reaction. And therefore, it doesn't count as H. If it would have just said Sreifa, I would have said that if it's melted by radioactivity, that's also good. Kamash Malan, that Besdin cannot use a microwave to boil up the avar. So that's lafuke avar mi'ikoro. Omar le Rebbe Yirmiyahu le Rebbe Zeira, are you telling me that wherever it says ba'esh tisaref, that it's going to include anything that is burned from something that was heated by fire? And here we come up with yet another place where ba'esh tisaref. Where is that? The Purim HaNisrafim, of course. So wherever we have the Purim HaNisrafim, so we have the Purim that are brought for the Par Helam Dovashot Sibur, and the Par of the Kohen Gadol, the Par of Yom HaKippurim that's brought inside, and that it says Ba'esh Tisaref. So over there, wouldn't that be by the Purim HaNisrafim, where it says V'sarafoto ala itzim Ba'esh, and it says, Beferish in the Brayta, you cannot use things that were heated by a fire. You need to use an actual open fire. Ba'esh velo besidroteach, velo begipsidroteach. So you can't use lime. You can't use gypsum. And that would mean that apparently we were wrong in being Doresh the Tisarev as including anything heated. Says Rabbi Zera, don't you see the difference? What's wrong with you? Okay, Ashta. There, in the case of the Bas Kohen, it says Ba'esh first and then Tisaref. So then that means it's expanding the definition of the Esh to include even other Srefos. So Hadar Tisaref, Masha Einken, that's Marbe Kola Srefot about Machmatza Esh. But by the Purim HaNisrafim, it says it exactly the opposite. It says Visarafoto Al Ha'etzim Ba'esh. The Eish comes at the end, and therefore the Eish is definitive. It's either Eish or bust. Lameimra the Eish in, but Mide Achrina is not acceptable. Wait a minute, but at the end of the Pasuk, it also says it in that order. Hosam nami k'tiva srefa lebesov, because at the end of the same pasuk, it says, al shefech ha-deshen yisaref. And that should include any type of srefa. That would be al shefech ha-deshen. No, that yisaref is not coming to redefine the esh. That yisaref is necessary for another drasha. Ha-hu yisaref b'boileth k'detanya, like it says in the Braita, al shefech ha-deshen yisaref is to tell me that had it said Yisaref al Shefech HaDeshen, then I would have thought that the ending of Shefech HaDeshen means you have to have Deshen there. And it's not just a place where you pour out the ashes. If it's a place designated for pouring out the ashes from the Mizbeach, that doesn't help. There's got to be ash there. Kamash Malan, Yisaref at the end, al Shefech HaDeshen Yisaref, even if there is no Deshen there. Furthermore, Deshen Yisaref comes to tell me that even if you've got yourself an animal that is burning and it was Hitzito Urberubo, you cannot walk away and say, okay, fine, I did my job because now it's mostly on fire and will undoubtedly burn. No. Tisaref means you keep busy with it until it is fully turned into ash. All right, now we can look at a different way of addressing the original stira that we had, which was the stira between Rebbe's Psak, that a Pesach on the Gechalim is considered to be Esh, and the special din of Michvah, that Tzaras is considered to be, a kol is considered to be a Michvah vis-a-vis Tzaras. Ravina says, I believe that the way that you quoted the Braisa over there is wrong, and that what you have to do is you have to put together the first two steps as one, and then move on to the rest of the steps. Here's how to read the Braisa. Michvat Esh. Ein li ela shenichve be'esh. Now you said, we end there. Ein li ela shenichve be'esh. How do we know? Bigachelet, etc., etc. Wrong. The right way to have read it was, Ein li ela shenichve be'esh or bigachelet. Those first two things are one. And that's exactly what Rebbe was saying. Egachelet, that is flickering, is Esh. So I would have thought that Dafke, if it's a Mikveh, either through an open fire or a Gachelet, how do I know that even if it was Nikveh, Beremetz, Besidroteach, Bejiv Sidroteach, Ubechol Davar Haba Machmata Ur, Latuye Chamea Ur Minai, and that's the rest of that. That makes perfectly good sense. Talmud Lomar Mikveh, to include even things that are not real fires, according to Rebbe, that is an open fire or a coal. Rava Rami. Rava, yes, yet another case. Amazing, right? But when I asked you, like, what's it nogea, whether something is called age, we're been hard-pressed to come up with all of these cases. Pow! Turns out there's yet another case where it's very important to determine whether something is called age, and it's a beautiful case. Why? Because it interrelates the Gecholim with the age. And that's the best place to look at it. So Rava points out, we've got a problem. Did Rebbe actually say that coals are considered to be fire? What are you going to do with the din of the Braita that's talking about on Yom Kippur? We darshan that the pasuk that says, V'lakach melo hamachta gachale esh me'al hamizbeach ve'evimi beit laparochet. That's the way that which the Kohen has to bring the Ketores on Yom Kippurim. And over there, the Torah says, make sure that you take gachale esh from off of the Mizbeach and bring it in with the Ketorah to burn. Now, Yochol, let's say if it would have just said gachale, and when it said gachale esh, so you might have thought that even if the gachalim are omemot, meaning that they're not flickering, they're just smoldering. They're very hot, but there's no indication of even that low-level flame on the Gecholim. So you might have thought that you could even take that for the Ketores. No, Tamalama Gachalei Eish. It actually has to be Gachalei Eish. Now, if it would have said Eish, you might have thought that that means just bring an open chemical reaction without any coals. And Gemara is about to ask, how the heck would you be able to have a flame without coals? We'll talk about that. I mean, you know the answer to that. Lighter fluid in your hat, if you've ever danced at a wedding. But anyway, that the Gemara will get to. So if it would have just said H, you might have thought that that's the way to do it. You should take an H. Tamalama Gachale. So it's Gachale H. Haketzad, what does that prove? it proves that you bring gachalim that are flickering with fire. Now, before I ask my question, okay, I want to point out that obviously we don't really understand this braita because the braita contradicts itself. Agufa kasha. First you say, had the pasuk said to take gachalei and it wouldn't have mentioned age, I would have said that that maybe would include even gechalim that are omemot, right? Okay, so that implies that what? The omemot, alma, lochashot, are eish, and not gachale, right? That's what I would have thought, that I'm taking for granted that only omemot are considered to be gachale, and I'm a chuyev to take omemot, and I can't take lochashot. But then look at the next piece. If it would have said eish, I might have thought you have to take an actual flame and not coals, Talmud Lomar Gachalei, which means that, according to that, the Lo Chashot are not considered to be Eish. Now make up your mind. Does Eish mean a flame, or does Eish mean Lo Chashot? Isn't that a contradiction? The Omer of Sheshes, so if Sheshes had explained the Braita, that the Braita should be understood like this, if it would have said Gachalei, I would have thought that that would include anything. It doesn't mean only Omamot. I might have thought it includes even omamot. So yoko bein omamot, bein lo chashot. That's why the Torah says eish. Now, if it says eish, you might think that it has to be a flame and not coals at all. Just bring the flame. Talmud lomar gachalei, and therefore haketzad mevim min ala chashot, putting the two together. So that makes sense internally. Anyway, but one thing you do see here, and this is my problem with Rebbe, says Ravina, mikol makom, you do see from here that Gechalim would not be called Eish, because the Havamina was, if it said Gechalim and not Eish, it would be Dafka only Gechalim and not the Eish. Kashal Rebbe. Omer Abaye, you've got the explanation of Brisa wrong. Here's the way to interpret the Brisa correctly. If it would have said Gechalim, I might have thought only Omamot, not Lauchashot, because Lauchashot are considered to be Eish. Talmud Lomar, Eish. Therefore, come say Eish. So if it said Eish, you might think that you could get away with bringing only a fire without any coal. That's what it means. So Eish Yochel Ratza Shalevet Yavi, Ratza Gachelet Yavi. Talmud Lomar, no. It's got to be a fire with a Gachelet. Haketzad Mevi Min Alachashot. Oh, my Rava, I don't understand what that means. What do you mean, just bring a fire? How can you bring a fire without something that is letting the fire burn if there isn't a coal there? So, Rotza Gachelet Yavi, Rotza Shalhevet Yavi. I mean, I don't understand. How do we have such a thing as a Shalhevet without a Gachelet? Hechi Mashkachasla. Well, what do you mean? You never dance with a burning hat at a wedding? You know, you take a little lighter fluid, you put it in there, and then it looks like it's just burning out of nowhere. And the shafi lamana mishka. So you put lighter fluid into something, and ite beinura, and then you light it. If that would be the case. I need a pasuk to tell me that case. I mean, you realize you wouldn't do something like that. That what? That the kohen gadol shouldn't come in like he's dancing in a wedding with a burning hat? I mean, you wouldn't do that for a Melech Basar Adam, I know, so he came from Melech Machayim Lachim to bring his Ketoret. That's the way you would burn the Ketoret? That's ridiculous. That's obviously so inappropriate. Now, I'm going to bring this smoking fire that you put it with oil and lighter fluid. Very, very inappropriate. That can't be what the Pasuk is needed for. Yeah, Lo Amar Rava, here's the way to understand it. Not the way Abaye said it. It's Gachale. You might think Gachale means only Omamot without any kind of flickering. Talmud Lomar, Eish. If it would have said Eish, now here's where I change it. If it would have said Eish, I might have thought that the idea of Gachale Eish is half and half. Okay. So you might be able to bring a fire, which was partially Gachalet, and partially shalevet. So as you take, what you do is you take a burning piece of wood that's like a torch. It has, part of it is burning currently. Part of it is still wood. So, but that way, by the time you bring it into the Kodesh HaKodashim, Ada'aya Legamai, at that point, it will be completely gachelet. Obviously, you're not going to bring a smoldering torch in, but this way, you have it timed in such a way that is a fresh coal, and that's how you should take it. Talmud Lomar, therefore, it says, in the pasuk, you should take at the time that you're taking it, v'lakach m'loha machatag achaleyesh me'ala mizbeach, which teaches me that at the moment of the lakicha, misha'at lakicha, you should turn it in to make sure that it's already kol. But the Braita is taking for granted that a flickering gachelet is considered to be esh, exactly the way that Rebbe said, and therefore there's no problem at all. Now, I'm just curious, how am I supposed to pronounce that word? Gechalim omamot with an ayin, or gechalim omamot with an aleph? We had this, of course, before. So what is the correct pronunciation? Omamot or omamot? Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, well, look at the pasuk. Arazim lo amamuhu began Elohim. Now, this is a reference. Rashi says it's a reference to Hiram Melech Tzor, which is a big problem because it isn't. The pasuk over here is, unless Rashi, Rashi quotes the pasuk in the Gemara, so I don't know. There is a pasuk about Omamot by Hiram, but this is not that pasuk. This is talking about the Melech Ashur. Okay, but in any event, it's describing the grandeur. And it says, look, you know, even the Gan Eden cedars wouldn't have dimmed this guy's glory, you know. So, but anyway, we say amamut. Amamu would mean to dim. So gechalim omemut would be with an ayin, and that would be the correct way to pronounce it.